So, grüß Gott, hallo. I hope it's okay that we talk in English. I think the previous talks also were in English, so let's just do it. Today I want to talk about CI and CD with a safety net. So we will talk about the things that we have done and the things that we have at OpenCloud. But before we start, please just let me introduce a bit about what we do, why we do that. And I wanted to ask if, just raise your hands, if OpenCloud, you know OpenCloud, is it a name for you? Okay, 2, 3, 4. So let's say roughly 10 people, that's pretty good at all. What we are doing is, basically the idea is that we have a pretty simple solution for file sync and share, where you can collaborate with colleagues and friends or your family and share your files, work with your files, and also manage your files. It's entirely written in Golang, so it's originated from OpenCloud, and it's the successor to the PHP solution that we had back in the days. And we have an entirely microservice architecture, and the idea is, I know it's not possible, but that we try always to scale linearly. One of the main design goals, why we did it, is that running databases in production across multiple servers could be a pretty big hassle. So we set the goal to ourselves that we try, okay, we need something that entirely runs without any database. So that the whole state is persisted and lives in the file system. So that's the main point why we started working on that. Basically, if somebody will ask me how I would explain OpenCloud, if you don't know it, it's pretty similar to OneDrive, but without the whole spying. Developing these days is not that easy. The whole dependencies and the tooling that we have has totally exploded. When I remember back, it's not that long ago, I worked with Ruby on Rails. I had my Vagrant running. I deployed using Capistrano. And maybe, just maybe, I also had a system in the background like Jenkins that is my safety net that everything runs smoothly. So bare metal was big thing back then. Nowadays, we have a lot of things that help a lot, but also make things kind of complicated. We have containers, we use Kubernetes, we're talking a lot about GitOps, so it's pretty complicated at all. Microservices, how the microservices have to communicate, we have a lot of protocols that we can use for that, we can do event propagation. So, you know, I think most of you know at least, it's not easy. Definitely, we have a lot of more power, but having more complicated things always can mean more things can break. And this is one of the reasons why we decided that we want to get the whole hand on our infrastructure and the tools that we use. I think we cared, and you also create software which was used by other people, you should care about that too. I know most of you already do, but it's really important to understand you have a responsibility. When you ship software, you always have the responsibility that you do not destroy any user data, that you have a safe harness for the data that is for the data of the user, and so on. And in my opinion, the main four reasons why something and external service especially is you have an eye on those. This can hurt you because it can break. When you remember, it's not that long ago, I think it was in April, we had a big outage with GitHub. So nobody was able to ship any software if it was on GitHub only. The CI was down, so it was a really, really bad day. And this is not the first time that such things happened. The second region you should have an eye on is poisoning. So maybe you can remember with NPM, there are a lot of package injections. Axios, for example, is a pretty well-used JavaScript package, and they had a poisonous injection in their code. So, yeah. It can also be a geopolitical. What is if America decides, okay, we cut down and Germany isn't allowed to work with GitHub anymore, for example, or with whatever. And there are also window logins. This is, in our case, for example, pretty important. You produce a lot of costs. You do not own your data also here. The availability, you don't have it just in your hands if something is available or not available. You just trust the vendor you're using. And also, if you have some security audits, you just have, in the most cases, just have to trust what the vendor is saying. So you see many reasons why you should take the initiative and try to at least the core parts of your infrastructure, of your how you ship software, should be really in-house or at least built on public systems where you're always able to see the code. And this was the point where we decided, we try, okay, this, we also have our code on GitHub, but I come to that later. But we try to not depend on many systems that we do not have under our own control. So maybe some of you know OpenCloud is a fork of OwnCloud. And back in the days at OwnCloud, we used Drone. This is a CI system. It's written in Go. I think it's owned by Harris right now. And what they have done is they just changed the license, pulled out some enterprise features, put it behind a paywall, and that's it. So we were in the situation that we, from one day to another, had to pay a lot of money to just have our pipelines continue running. And that was one of the reasons why we decided that we should switch or change the situation and use Woodpecker instead. Here it is. Have somebody ever heard about Woodpecker before? I want to see your hands again. Okay. Also a few people. So what is great here, in my opinion, at least, is totally community-owned, though there is no commercial company behind that. And that is great. The license also is pretty friendly, and it is a successor of Drone. It's a fork. And that's the great part for us, because we already had our whole pipeline running on Drone, and migrating over is doable. It's multi-forge, which is also a good thing. Multi-forge means we, for example, we host on GitHub. For sure, we do mirroring, but if for whatever reason GitHub isn't available in Germany anymore or just shut down the doors, and we are able to switch in our own system over to a Codeberg, for example. So this is just a configuration issue. All of that is automated. And it's, in theory, it should be simple. It's pretty lightweight, so the server and the agent will also run on smaller systems. For me at home, for example, I have it installed on a sync center. It runs without any problem. I have multiple agents and one server, so it really doesn't need that much of resources. And it has a pretty active community, so if you go to the GitHub page of some, they have a pretty active communication. They have a lot of issues where you can ask for features, for example, and it's a good place to be there. The architecture is, in general, pretty simple. You have one server and you have multiple agents. How many agents is up to you. The difference between a server and an agent is the server communicates to the forks, like GitHub, for example, if something happened, and instructs the agent, the little work hoses, that they should do something. For example, it could be pull the code, It could be run the unit test suite. And this is pretty cool because you can start to have multiple agents on multiple regions in multiple areas. We, for example, have a pretty intense test suite, so we need a lot of agents that are responsible to run those, for example. So the idea, I just have to tell you a bit of history. It's 1.5 years ago that we decided we will fork OwnCloud. This is a long story why that happened, but we decided as a team that we need a new home. And since OSIS was open source, we are able to fork it. And the idea was, okay, it's simple. We go to GitHub, we hit fork, and that's it. We can start developing, and we are back operational from day one. Yeah. That's what we thought. We press the fork, we jump on the dragon, that's it. But reality told us it's not that easy. We faced some hurdles here. I told you that we had drone back in the days, and we decided to switch to Woodpecker. We had the problem that our whole configuration isn't written in YAML, it's written in Starlark. Starlark, for those who don't know, it's a dialect. It was developed by Google. And the benefit that we have here, that it's not statically anymore. Why is that important for us? Because in different scenarios, we have to use different configurations, and we have more than, I think it's 40 different agents that run different things. We have a lot of testing. We have the release pipeline in there and a whole lot of other things. I will show you that in a moment. And just a statically typed YAML won't work here. So we had to figure out how we are able to use the Starlark, which was supported by Drone, but not by Woodpecker, because the fork of Drone to Woodpecker was done before they introduced the Starlark support. So it's not there. We had to find a way to support that, because rewriting all the whole test pipelines wasn't anyhow possible. We have a lot of testing that needs to be done. We have unit tests. We have a pretty heavy integration test suite. We run acceptance tests. We have now also a bigger end-to-end test pipeline, which takes care of testing the UI that we provide. And we also do really intensive load testing so that between releases, we always know that the same software with a different version on the same hardware won't get slower. So it's one of our pretty important things that the performance always gets better or at least stays the same. How do we operate that? Docker Compose, yeah, it's fine for local development, but it's not in any case, nearly in any case, possible to run such a big setup on Docker Compose. So it's in Kubernetes, and we are doing the secrets via SOPs. And we also have to do the whole release process, which is also done in Woodpecker. And we had one, and we were capable of taking over a lot of that. So all of that also runs inside the Woodpecker, and then the release, for example, happens to GitHub or to our Artifact Hub. One of the hardest part that we found rolling out Woodpecker was getting the agents stable, clean up behind themselves, having the database operational all the time, because a lot of logs, when you run that many steps, I think we have around 50 to 60 steps in just one pipeline. Each PR triggers that. So we will collect a lot of logs over time, and it's important to us to keep them and have our eye on them when we release something. Okay, we can guarantee this was green back in the days when we released the older version, or also when we release patch versions. It's important for us to have the history of the releases. So, to make all that happen from Drone to Woodpecker, we had, as I said before, built some things around that. So we decided Woodpecker has a cool function So it does not have directly support, as I told, for Starlark, but it can ask a remote server, send the whole configuration there, and ask the server to respond in a compatible format. So what we did, we built a configuration server which reads the old Starlark in, takes all the part, mangles it together, renders it, and gives it back to the Woodpecker server. So that was done. For the performance testing, which also runs, at the moment it does not run in the pipeline, but it's one of our next steps to also have it there publicly, so you can always see the performance numbers there. We developed a test suite which sits on the shoulder of Giants, which is K6. Not sure if it's a thing or if you have heard it before what it is. It's an entirely in Go written test suite which cares about performance testing. And the cool thing here is you can write the tests in JavaScript and they will run inside the Go image, and this is done by having a virtual machine inside Go. And this is pretty great because they have a lot of tooling, and we wrote a toolbox around that so that we have some predefined tests that always over each release is running, and we can then guarantee, okay, we are not slower, for example. And the next thing, which is about forking and was a pretty important part in our CI pipeline, was debranding, because just forking isn't a thing. You have to replace some things. For example, URLs have changed. For the import passes, for example. You have some wording that you need to update inside the documentation, inside the Go code for help messages. And there are so many things, and the bad part is you just cannot go there and decide, okay, I replace everything from name A to name B. You have to document all of those steps, and you also have to decide on a step, or you have to pick on each step individually. It needs to be there. For example, copyrights, they need to stay there as they are aware. And you have to add on some places, or you have to change that in some places. And this needs to be documented also. So we decided to create a tool that is capable of parsing the repositories, which understands the syntax tree of each file. For example, in Go, we parse the AST. And then we know, okay, this is some part that needs to be changed because it's an import pass, or we have to leave the license intact because it has to stay there. And this is the last tool that we developed and make all those things happen. And we also have the documentation what have changed and that the fork was legally correct. So this ran in the CI too. And then we also have, beside those things, Playwright Tests, which is responsible for running the end-to-end test suite for our web client. We have secrets operations. We have the whole caching thing, because it does not make really much sense. When you push something to GitHub, it starts the Woodpecker pipeline, or the Woodpecker pipeline starts, and all the dependencies get pulled down over and over again. Also between runs, but also between different Docker containers, which are responsible for each individual part that is needed by the whole suite. We have mirroring. We picked, for example, Codeberg for that. And we also have our own registry, because just having it on Quay or Docker Hub is not enough. We also need to take care of having our own registry, so if things happen, that we have a way to work around that. And one of the questions that everybody should ask himself is you can replace GitHub by whatever you want. What happens if it went down? So will your pipeline still run? Our pipeline won't run from the first second, but we're pretty quick and bringing that all back together with Codeberg automatically by running some scripts. And since Woodpecker is self-hosted, also for Woodpecker, we just have to change the configuration. So we say, okay, don't use GitHub as a fork anymore, please use Codeberg now. In some points, that's still problematic, because the whole discussions, the PR history and the issue history, they are still on GitHub, okay? But the code is not, it's not the absolute perfect solution, but in my opinion, at least we stay operational. And then all the changes is you pull from a different place, you download your binaries from a different place, and the pipelines are running on a different place. But the database with all the log and all the history in it still the same. And the idea for us, at least, is that we are capable of bringing everything back within 2 hours if GitHub shuts down, for example. And it's also important to test that doomsday scenario, because in theory it sounds always great, but in the real world things will go wrong, so test it. So things that we have learned over time. Forking something is, at the end, pretty lot of work, and it's really much more than just clicking the button fork. You have to take care, you have to prove that you're capable of having the ownership of the fork, and it's always also a guarantee or something that you tell your users, you will care for it. The config service, in our case, Aloden, saved us really a lot of work in bringing all those things back operational. So it was some weeks of development, I think, and but it was really great because we know that we have the same state as before the fork, because we run the same pipelines on the same hardware, and that's really comparable. In my opinion, self-hosting feels most of the time useless until something goes wrong. So don't underestimate that. Just trusting some company out there is not enough. You have ownership of your software, and you're responsible also for the users that trust you. You also have to be trust resilient. Just try out blacklist GitHub and see what happens. Just blacklist it in your local infrastructure. You will see the developers will pretty quick will start to raise their hands that we have a problem. And I can't say that enough. Open source is really great. You have to control your stack. You don't have to control the whole stack, but each piece that you control your own is you gain back more control over the whole thing. In our case, how it works at the moment is it needs more than a button, or it needed more than a button, but after all these steps and all the tools that we have developed, we finally reached the state. I think it was after 3 months, we were back fully operational. And now it really feels like riding the dragon. Thank you that you listened to the talk. I hope if you don't know OpenCloud, you will try it out. It's a really great solution. We are a team. We take responsibility, and we take this pretty serious. We don't just ship the software. We also take the responsibility when developing things that users trust us and putting their data into our system. That's important, and thank you for that. Any questions?